Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Over the course of its long history, Theater Tulsa has presented a number of first and audacious productions for community theater. And next week, they'll add another chapter to that illustrious history when they present their first mega musical, Schoenberg and Boublil's Les Misérables. Mark Fry stars as Jean Valjean, and Mike Pryor portrays Inspector Javert. But as important as those main roles are, the secondary roles are equally important, and Theater Tulsa will present a cast of 70 singers and actors to bring this classic and groundbreaking musical to life. It's all the more impressive because just a few years ago, Theater Tulsa was practically moribund, but a dedicated group of volunteers and staff have revived the company in spectacular fashion. This past season, Theater Tulsa premiered their new stage series devoted to cutting-edge theatrical experiences. And to start off their 92nd season, this year, they present the most ambitious musical they've produced in recent memory, complete with live orchestra. Les Misérables opens 1 week from tonight and runs through August 24th at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. I'm joined by the president and artistic director of Theater Tulsa, Sarah Phoenix, who's directing the show, and music director, Jeremy Stevens. Sarah Phoenix and Jeremy Stevens, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Theater Tulsa is going to kick off their season in a very, very big way with Les Misérables. And this is a huge musical. And considering where Theater Tulsa was just a few years ago, where it was literally on its last leg, what an incredible statement for the company to come and try to do this. Sarah, tell us the process of deciding to do Les Mis.
Sure. Well, you're right. It's a very ambitious show for us. But we're so excited. Really, the decision came from two places. First of all, the rights for Les Mis just came out about a year and a half ago.
And,
for community theaters and civic theaters, that they had been available for professional theaters. And you never know when they release the rights how long those are going to be available. So it was like, okay, should we do this now? And at the same time, Theater Tulsa was kind of going through kind of a renaissance, a resurgence of success and good energy. And we really felt like we were ready to kind of make the jump and really try an ambitious production like this because we felt like we had the local talent in singers, musicians, in the designers and technicians to really do the show well and to do it justice. And we just felt like that was a big statement for us to make as a company that we can do this. And this is the quality of work we're wanting to present for our community.
And what made it evident that you were ready to take this step?
Well, it's interesting. We just last year had a huge amount of success with the production of Legally Blonde in August. And it kind of surprised us because that was a huge leap of faith at the time. It was an expensive show. It required a lot of talent as well and a lot of technical specifications that we hadn't been dealing with in previous seasons. And the show sold out. All but one performance sold out in the Williams Theater at the PAC. And it kind of surprised us, but we were super excited. And we realized, oh, okay, if we can present this kind of entertainment and this quality of entertainment at a reasonable price with local talent, then why not try something even bigger? And the rights came out for Les Mis, and it was good timing.
Well, that's another huge step, really, from Legally Blonde to Les Mis, just mm-hmm. the sheer size of the cast needed. You had to convince your board to do this, and I would assume there's some financial risk for Theater Tulsa. I mean, you're on sound financial ground now. A couple of years ago, you weren't. And, you know, if things don't go well with this, this could really sink the ship, couldn't it?
It could. And you're right. It's a huge risk. And it's why I don't sleep at night. but I just have really felt like we have the passion and the talent to make this a success and that this show in particular speaks to people and that people are very passionate about it. Even people who don't even go see theater all the time will roll out for the show because it's just there's just something about it that resonates with people. And so the board, luckily, they trust what I think we should try, and they've been on board with this one. They're not necessarily on board with everything, but I think that they feel like that this is a reasonable risk to take and that we actually will, you know, have some good success from it. So
this show is as much spectacle as it is a musical piece. Can a community theater recreate that spectacle? I mean, you know, this show has been out touring for a long time. You know, for a long time, they had the little platter that gave you the sense of action that's a part of it. Can you recreate that sense of spectacle at a community theater level?
Well, actually, when we first considered doing this show, we thought about going in the exact opposite direction and taking it very minimalistic and letting the music and the talent kind of do the work for us. Now, we've since kind of grown away from that initial concept, but the idea was that we don't have to try to recreate what they did on Broadway and what they did in the national tour. We can take this script and this music from these pieces of paper and we can make our own production. We don't have to emulate anything that anyone else has done. And that's one of the things that has given me the most joy out of this entire process, is that we literally have not copied anybody. We are pulling this together from the minds and talents of Tulsa citizens and artists. And it is a truly unique production. And you're right, you do have to kind of be true to the story and true to the music. And it does require some sort of spectacle. You've got these huge battle scenes going on stage. We have 70 people in these huge dance numbers on stage. And so, I mean, it definitely requires a lot of attention to detail, but I feel like we've been able to do our own version and do the script and the music justice as well.
We have, Jeremy, as you well know, the music is so powerful that you can create a television special of a large choir, the principal sitting on Royal Albert Hall stage.
Absolutely.
And sing, the only thing they're doing is they're singing, they're wearing costumes to let us know who they are.
Right.
And singing it. You can do it that way, but it sounds like if in coming up with your own way of expressing this, maybe it doesn't cost as much, but it still gives you the sense of that spectacle, then you're there.
Absolutely. The entire purpose of this was to really show off what Tulsa can offer and what level we expect to see and be a part of, kind of raise that expectation level. And I believe we're doing that. The cast is extremely talented, even in providing tiny little details to keep the momentum and velocity growing. And that the story and the arc of the story is also not only shown on stage, but sung on stage, played under the stage by the pit. Like it's a full-fledged collaborative effort to move this story along. And we're doing it our way. And that's what makes it even more special for us. It's a large show, but we're doing it our way with still paying homage to the original.
Now, Jeremy, I know you've music directed a number of shows here in this town. And usually when you music direct a show, it's you at the piano, maybe a bass and drums.
Maybe.
You have a 10-piece orchestra for
this. We have a 10-piece orchestra. That is correct. We've got strings and brass and woodwinds and keyboards and a crazy percussionist who agreed to do the show, even though there's a lot of percussion that he has to play. But what we wanted to do when we decided to do the show, we just thought, you know, we've done the tracks in the past to really great acclaim. We just felt like that we needed that live instrument sound. And that would add even more to the emotion and to the power that we know we're going to bring on stage with the singing. Adding that live instrument sound was key. It was an essential key.
Tell us about the casting process. Has this been a longer than usual process for Theater Tulsa as far as casting and rehearsing? Or has it been about the same amount of
time? I'd say maybe a little bit longer, not hugely.
You're dealing with a much larger cast than you're usually, I mean,
yes.
70 people.
We have 70 people. And we did audition early because we knew we were going to be asking people to be here over the summer to rehearse. And we had almost 200 people come out to audition.
Did you have a lot of people come out just because of just the sheer, we're going to do Les Mis?
Yes.
I have to be a part of this.
Rich, I cannot tell you how many times Jeremy and I looked at each other and auditioned and be like, where did that person come from? I mean, we're seeing all these new, this is the beauty of it, right? We're seeing all these new faces and incredible talent that, you know, these people, you know, have regular day jobs, but they're coming in and they're singing like opera, like professional opera singers. And we're like, where have you been? Welcome. But that was also the thought when we decided to do this show, was that this piece is going to pull people who don't normally come in to audition for theater because they love it so much and they want to be a part of it. And in fact, that happened. And we've got an amazing, diverse, talented cast of people, but it took a while. We had probably several callbacks. I probably had an original group of like 20 girls that I called back for Eponine because there were so many great girls who came in that could sing it.
And I called it my wall of Eponines because they would stand in front of me. There were so many of them.
Yes.
Well, talk about the leads, because the leads are so important in the show. You have to have a Javert and a Jean Valjean that can really sing, and all you have to do is look at the movie version to know when one of them are quite not up musically. You know, even though Russell Crowe's a great actor, you know, he's an okay singer. It's just, it doesn't work in this mm-hmm. in this particular piece. Who do you have for the leads, and what were you looking for in those two characters? Because they're so important and so dramatic.
Well, I'm I'm going to defer to Sarah because we agreed completely on the leads. And that doesn't happen very often when you're auditioning for a show that the music director and the director agree on almost 100% of the casting choices. Mm-hmm. And we did, and she'll explain why.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching the movie the other day. My husband had it on, and I was listening to Hugh Jackman sing, and I was thinking, our Valjean is better than that.
True.
And it's true. As Valjean, we were fortunate enough to find Mark Fry, who has an amazing repertoire and experience working professionally around the country as a vocalist and as a performer. And he came in and auditioned, and we're just thrilled to have the opportunity to work with him. He has such power vocally, and his stage presence is amazing. And I think he's really helped raise the bar kind of at the head of the cast for what we're expecting of the performers and how you work in a rehearsal environment and all of that. And then we're equally as lucky to get the awesome Mike Pryor, who is a veteran Tulsa performer, to play Javert. And those two, I believe, have worked together before on a couple of shows. And so they have a camaraderie that's kind of cool to watch on stage, even though in the show they're actually enemies. It's nice to have that good energy and balance between those two lead characters.
Of course, as you both well know, the leads are important, but there are so many supporting roles where, you know, the little kids have their moment and the show absolutely hinges on them being there in tune, singing beautifully, and acting a strong job of acting. The innkeeper couple, you have the guys on the barricade. All of these people have their moments, and they have to be strong. So it's not about two leads. You have to have, what, maybe a dozen supporting, supporting roles?
Oh, I would say at least a dozen. Sarah and I really refer to the show as an ensemble show with great leads.
Yeah.
Like, without an ensemble group of performers on stage to help carry the show along, the show wouldn't be near as successful. And those ensemble characters are essential, not only in story, but musically as well. This is one of those few shows where there's maybe four or five spoken words, and the rest of it's music. So when we're blocking, I'm there at every rehearsal playing through the songs, and they're singing. And then we're stopping, and we're going back, and we're fixing this, and then we go on again. It's very different than most people are used to, because they're used to, oh, this is a scene. Now we're going to talk, and there's some dialogue, and then there's a song, and then there's a scene. No, it's
20th century recitative, really.
Absolutely.
And you really can't call this an opera, but it is about as close to an opera in the musical form as you can get.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a challenge, too, of just saying your words in a recitative where you're singing, but you're also really, in a way, you're speaking the words because you're having to convey plot, usually when you're doing a recitative. And that's probably a little out of people's out of their comfort zone.
Yes. And that was, we knew that was going to be a challenge going into it. Like Sarah said earlier, we were putting our own mark on it. So I didn't want them to feel like, I need you to sound just like this recording. I didn't want that. I wanted them to be, we cast them in that role for a reason. I wanted them to have motivation to why it was they were singing it this way. Why is it that you are doing this? Why are you saying this? Where are you moving with the plot with this line? Why are you doing that? And understanding their context has also helped these actors really understand their specific part. And by part, I mean like the notes that they sing. Not only are they what they're singing, but how that moves the story along as well.
Yeah. Now, the recitatives, are they absolutely written in stone, or is it a lot of ad libitum for the singers?
They're written down,
right,
specific, what the composers originally wanted. Here recently, I had some friends go down to Dallas, and Dallas Theater Center just did Les Mis, and it was completely revamped, updated, and all sorts of things, including most of the recitatives were done as almost like Sprechstimme, spoken sung. Which I thought was interesting. And so I want them to do it as close to what's written as possible. It's written that way for a reason in my book.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some times where it may not be exactly what's written because of the emotion or the urgency of what it is that they're singing. Like Valjean has several of them that I told Mark I didn't want him to do it pitched. I wanted it to be spoken sung so that we could still get the urgency from what he's singing without that almost robotic sound of the upper passaggio hitting those notes that really isn't that necessary to convey the urgency that he's singing.
Well, it sounds like it's been a very interesting rehearsal project. My guest today, Sarah Phoenix, the director, and Jeremy Stevens, the music director for Theater Tulsa's production of Les Miserables by Schoenberg and Bobillil, which opens August 8th and runs through the 24th at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Theater Tulsa was a few years ago literally on the verge of folding, and it's had a spectacular revitalization. And they're really sort of, you're really rolling the dice with this in a lot of ways, because this is financially risky for the company, isn't it?
Absolutely. But we, you know, our goal all along since I came on board about 2 years ago was to push the boundaries, to raise expectations, and
to bring Theater Tulsa back to where it was.
Where it was when I grew up.
And yeah,
yeah,
and 60s.
And I my first shows as a child were my parents taking me to see Annie and The Sound of Music at the old Delaware Theater. And it was, you know, such a successful theater. And so it's been a joy to be involved in that process over the past 2 years. And I feel like Les Mis is just one more step in the right direction, even though it is a huge risk. It's a good one.
Now, earlier you said you're going to put your own stamp on this particular Les Mis. Give us a sense of some of the areas where Theater Tulsa has done that.
Sure. Well, you're going to see a beautiful scenic design by Matt Morton, who is a local Tulsa designer who worked professionally in Chicago and has come back home. We love those people that have come back home with all this amazing experience and talent. It's a story I hear a lot, and I like it. So the scenic design is completely original, and it's gorgeous. It's lush. It's scrumptious. You're going to see a lot of amazing fight choreography, especially in the battles and the attacks in the second act. Mitchell Neal is an amazing local fight choreographer who has spent a lot of time with our cast creating this spectacle. Our lighting design is gorgeous. We're using original projections, the orchestra, and of course all this amazing local talent.
And, of course, that cast of 70, a lot of them are chorus.
Yes.
Most of them.
Most of them are, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and that's also an equally important part of this particular show, because this is a very heavy choral show.
It is. There are several moments in the show where everyone sings unison just in their particular octave. And then there are those few, maybe 4 to 6 areas where it splits into really lush harmony. And that deep texture, that rich texture that everyone loves to listen to. And dividing up people to sing in those spots, that was one of the first big challenges was, I know you're a tenor, but I'm going to have you sing bass. Because the bass part in Les Mis is a tenor part in reality. I mean, it's everyone sings.
Everyone's singing high.
Everyone's singing high and loud. So trying to texture that and pattern that and give that an arc so that it's not just people parking and barking. That's what I didn't want. I wanted it to be, here's a tender moment. Here's something new. Here's this, you know, this crescendo up into this really great climax of this piece of music. I'd been to too many performances of Les Mis where it was a park and bark, and that's a horrible term to use, but and funny.
But it's also sort of a traditional operatic sort of way of doing it.
That's
and
exactly right.
The best versions of Les Mis, the chorus is interacted in the piece, and they're the guys in the bar at the tavern,
the harmonies there. Yes. I have goosebumps right now just thinking about the cafe scenes. Oh.
Yes.
And of course, the barricades. It's you're preparing for battle, or you're in battle, or you've just
and
finished
you're singing
your battle.
In harmony at the same time.
Right. And why not, right?
Climb up on the barricade, deal with some firearms.
I need you to sing
songs.
Baritone 2 here, all right? Thank you.
But that was the beauty, too, in casting and having so many people come out for auditions, is there is not one person in our ensemble who is not capable of singing a lead role.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone in our ensemble has an amazing voice on their own. And so you put 70 of those voices on stage together. Again, goosebumps. I mean, it's just, it will melt your face off.
Now, do you have people from throughout the community, people who like singing choirs or somebody you would say, oh, you're an attorney or,
yes. you know, that's the beauty of this theater and what we're doing is you have people like Mark Fry, who has performed professionally in Carnegie Hall all over, performing on stage with a couple of people that this is their very first show, and they just love the music and they happen to have a beautiful voice and they just wanted to try it. And then you have everything in between. You have people who work as accountants and nurses, teachers, homeschooled children, children who go to public schools or private schools. I mean, it's the most beautiful assembly of people from across our community, from all different walks of life, coming together because they have an interest in this project. And their interests are wide and they're varied. And everyone's reason for being there is a little different. Everybody kind of has a story. We've actually kind of shared some of those recently, and it's been kind of nice to hear what brought you here. Why are you here? But everybody's bonded by this common goal, and everyone wants this to be the best it can be. And I honestly don't think I've ever worked with a cast or crew that's as dedicated as these people are. It's amazing.
I agree.
Now, one of the things I could think when you're doing this piece, you're going to get some really strong singers coming out, but they have to be strong singers and good dramatic actors as well. Has that been a challenge?
No.
No?
I really do feel like we just got so lucky with, not that there aren't challenges. There are challenges every day. Every day, we're jumping hurdles and we're figuring out how to solve this problem or our way around this dramatic moment or this particular piece of music. But altogether, considering the scope of what we're doing, I have been highly impressed with what our cast has brought to rehearsal and what they're able to do and their talent level. I'm more impressed than I thought I would be. And I knew all along we had the talent to do this, but I'm consistently blown away.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your set design. What's impressive about how you do the set design? Because, you can do it one, you can do it minimalistic, or you can do it very heavy set oriented. Where have you gone?
It has a few moving pieces, but it's mostly a unit set that is very detail oriented. They put a lot of time and energy into the paint work on it, the wood carving detail, that it just kind of brings about kind of the essence of that Parisian or French street. Mm-hmm. And then there are pieces that come out to create different places within France, whether it's, in the prologue when he's working in the fields or at the docks down where all the, prostitutes and sailors hang mm-hmm. out, to the sewers. I mean, it really is an epic musical because it spans so many years and so many places. But again, that's the brilliance of Matt Morton's scenic design.
So you've gone more realistic than sort of minimalistic.
Correct.
And
what I'm saying. We went the exact opposite way we thought we were going originally, but it's just Matt's just such a talented designer, and he was able to give us everything that we wanted. And
have to have a big barricade in the second act.
You have to have the barricade. You have to figure out things like how Javert dies, how Gavroche dies, like all these little specific things. And how do you make it look authentic and true to what's actually happening? And there's a lot of challenges with that. But again, a good scenic design from the very beginning can help you with that. And I feel like that's what we've had.
You mentioned Gavroche. You also have kids you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that can be really tricky, but you have some really talented kids in this show.
Yes. We're very fortunate. Once again, we were very lucky. The kids that we have that are in the show are, there's very... probably some of the most professional kids. Mm-hmm. I call them my 30-year-old, 13-year-olds.
They really are. They're like little adults.
Right. They're mini, mini adults. And they take notes well. Some of them take notes better than the adults do. And they show up every night ready to work. And we may not be working on their scene, let's say, in previous weeks. And they are still there just in case.
Yeah.
Like that's real dedication. And they're extremely talented vocally as well. I've moved a couple of them around from the part they wanted to sing, and they're singing that part better than the first part that they were singing. So, I mean, they're very easy to direct and coach.
And we did choose to cast some kids outside of the young Cosette, Gavroche, and young Eponine that are typically cast in the show. We also have a handful of other children that play in the ensemble. So there are probably about 7 or 8 of them total.
I think
they're
eight.
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Eight.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great production, and I know you can't wait till opening night. And of course, the other thing about this musical, it's long musical, mm-hmm. and putting it together is a real challenge. That first few nights of getting people into the performing mode. How are you working with that, especially with a lot of people who maybe this is their first show, and knowing how quick and how fast you have to be to get a musical? in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of pre-planning, a lot of talking before we get into the space. You know, we don't load into the Williams Theater until
the beginning of that week.
Right before, less than a week before we open. And there are so many elements we're throwing at them all of a sudden: lighting, costume design, smoke, fog, haze, firearms, all this stuff. And I think in a show like this, you've got to rely on those who are experienced and know, the importance of attention to detail and safety and all of those things, and hope everyone catches up, gets on board, because you don't have time. It is a 3-hour show. It flies by. I mean, it's riveting and it flies, but it is a long show to tech. In rehearsals, we're there, until late at night. And most people have to get up and go to work the next day.
And you put your finger on the other side of why the show is difficult. You have to have a strong backstage crew because, as you mentioned, you have fight choreographers. If you have firearms involved, that's a special training license, as well as all the smoke and special effects.
Right. Absolutely. We're lucky that we have a huge crew, a huge production staff. I think we've got about 35 total working behind the scenes on this show. Not all of them on running crew necessarily, but we're also using our actors quite a bit to help us with moving pieces, because that just kind of goes in with the story and the whole idea of everyone kind of uniting towards a common goal. And so we're using our actors a lot to help move pieces of set around for us. And
that sounds
like an organic experience.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great opening to the season. And it's a big season. You have like three musicals as well as three theatrical shows and plays.
We're doing Chicago, 9 to 5, the musical. We're doing the new show, musical Next to Normal, that just won the Pulitzer and the Tony last year. We have several youth musicals as well. And then we're also doing two plays, Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, which is also a Tony winner. We're the first local theater to produce that in the fall. And then the 39 Steps, Alfred Hitchcock parody.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with this big opening. Ticket sales going well so far?
Yes, they're flying.
Yeah. And so people should get them early then, obviously.
Absolutely, especially if they want, the prime seats. Those are going very quickly.
Les Miserables opens August 8th, runs through the 24th at the Williams Theater, the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, opening for the weekend, the first weekend, and then you add performances through the week as the week goes on.
Correct. We have 13 total performances. So.
All right. Well, Sarah and Jeremy, a break a leg. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah Phoenix is the director, Jeremy Stevens, the music director for Theater Tulsa's production of Les Miserables, which opens their 92nd season 1 week from tonight, Friday, August 8th, at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Williams Theater. Performances continue through August 24th. For more information and tickets, visit tulsapac.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. We'll be on hiatus for the next 2 weeks, so you'll be hearing the best of Studio Tulsa. Hope you have a great start of August, and we'll be back with new shows in the middle of the month. We're going to leave you with music from Les Miserables. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
About to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people say, singing the song of angry men? It is the future.